and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Kayla Page, Justin Tyler Anselmo.
All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman. Oh, my God, you guys. Very exciting. Big Comic Book Club. Second Comic Book Club of the new year.
Yeah.
Pete, take your time putting those comics down.
I will. Thank you.
Cool. Big news. We teased last week that we'd have some big news.
Yeah.
And we have some big news. We're very excited about this. As of this podcast, I think, we are officially part of the Nerdist Network.
Nerdist! Right.
That's really cool.
Very exciting.
I think we can quit.
Yep, we've made
done.
It.
We hit it. We nailed
it. Came to the top of a hill in the podcast world.
How is the money for you guys?
Oh, man.
Good. I'm buying, I'm down to my t-shirt, so I need something when it comes
thanks
to
for selling.
I'm
going to
fill in the
v-neck
with a little circle when I get the money.
Just a circle, not a triangle?
Well, like, you know how shirts crew? Is that what that is? I don't know a lot about fashion.
Way to do visual jokes for the podcast.
I'm wearing a V-neck, guys.
We're learning, you guys. We're learning. We're also learning what amazing guests we have tonight.
Yeah, we do.
And how to do great segues. I'm very excited about them. One is the host of College Humor's Nerd Alert. The other is the awesome artist of The Ray and Superman. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Rudin and Jamal Igel.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you back and you for the first time.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So, Jamal, let's chat with you first. So, right now, first thing to talk about, you're working on The Ray, which issue 2 comes out tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
Cool.
Confirmed. You may leave the set.
Exactly. Short and succinct. That's the way I like to keep it.
Yeah. That's what we call an interview.
Well, I really like the first issue of The Ray a lot. It was a new hero, very different. Could you talk a little bit about the development of it?
I came in on the artistic side, and they'd already started pitching. But apparently, when they approached me about doing it, they hadn't decided if the character was going to be male or female yet. Oh, wow. So...
You were like, male.
I actually did a sketch where I did a design for a female version of the character. But I got approached while I was working on the last two pre-reboot issues of Superman. And, I came in, they sent me a script, and it was pretty much tailor-made for me, just in terms of, pacing and comedy.
And the amount of nudity.
Yeah, that's true, because I'm all about the full frontal male nudity.
Yeah, I know.
Right. For those of
you can begin
it,
your burlesque portion.
Yeah. For those of you who didn't read The Ray number one, so the thing is, this guy,
me,
yeah, first, shame on you. We like to shame people as much as possible.
Two moments of silence for shame.
Yes. He gets these light-based powers, but he becomes so hot that he burns off all of his clothing.
Oh. Been there.
So he's nude the entire issue.
Yeah, nude!
He's actually nude the entire series.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Me too!
Yep, Boothman really identifying with the Ray.
Cool. So what have you been enjoying drawing in the series? What can we look forward to?
Oh, my God. Well, let's see. Issue 2, Flying Manta Rays.
Nice.
Ooh.
That's cool.
I can say that because you've seen the cover. If you've seen the solicitations, you know they're on the cover. But as far as issue 2 goes, all I'll say is beware the isopods.
Oh, the isopods.
Yes.
That's an internet thing, right?
Pretty much, yeah. No, the entire, it's, can I say, BS?
Swear the
it
fuck
is.
Off
it's batshit insane. It's the whole story.
I think that's what BS meant.
Yeah.
Classic. Quit batshitting me, man.
Quit BSing me.
Now, the other thing that's interesting about the series is this is your last series for DC Comics.
Yes, it is.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Can you talk a little bit about that? You've been with them.
What will become of you?
What will become?
Are you just going to fade away?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the long walk. They're just going to open the pod bay doors.
And someone's going to clap.
Exactly. Slow clap. And, I'll have my lawgiver and my book of law, and I'll just wander off into the desert.
Oh, nice. I was thinking an officer and a gentleman. Is that... Nerdist into really old references, right?
Yep.
Really dated references.
We're doing real great so far.
Young people.
No, right? Well, I've been working for DC off and on since I was 17, and I'm almost 40
just
now.
Underage.
So that'll tell you how long it's been. But I was on. I was exclusive for DC. I was working. I've been working for DC almost exclusively for 7 years.
How can you work at 17?
I was an intern. I interned in production, and then got my first gig. My first published work was Green Lantern 52 when I was 21.
52, wow. Right?
Yeah, 52.
I can probably pinpoint that issue because 50 is where it all jumped off,
this
right?
This is true.
That's like Kyle Rayner.
Exactly. It's like right after.
Love Kyle.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, everything that I've done, like the majority of the work that I've done since I've been in the industry has been for DC. So it just became time, like around... I would say like June or July, I just decided, you know what, it's just time for me to walk away. I've done everything that I said that I was going to do while I was there. I got to work on Superman finally.
You want to date like a younger, hotter company?
Oh, man.
A little bit. There's a little bit of that. So I'm actually finishing up the last issue of The Ray this week, and woo! I'm going to be moving on to my first non-DC project in 7 years. So,
what would you say... out of everything that you've done, was your favorite that you've gotten to draw?
I think Supergirl was probably. Yeah. I mean, it honestly. Yeah.
Nice. Clap it out.
It started out as something that I wasn't that excited about doing at first when they approached me about doing it. And I just kind of figured, well, you know, I'll be on it for like 6 issues and then I'll be it. And then 6 issues turned into 2 years.
They wouldn't let you do your nudity stuff.
So no, no, no. hoping to get back into that, actually. Yeah.
Drawing Supergirl naked?
Well, not Supergirl.
You could do that right now.
Yeah.
Not exactly what I meant.
I knew it would go this way.
Do you have, coming out of this, is there a dream job? Would you, everybody kind of naturally assume, cool, if he's not at DC, he's going to go to Marvel. Is that where you'd like to go? Are there things you'd like to draw there?
There are things that I would like to draw there. There's creator-owned stuff that I would like to do. You know, part of my leaving DC really is about not only doing work for other companies, but generating my own product and, you know, getting back into more fine art as well. And,
oh, wow.
You know, kind of re-examining that part of my life. It's very easy to sort of get sucked up into the DC machine while you're there. And you forget that there's like an entire world of art outside of
multiverse.
Just working in comics.
Wait,
the multiverse.
What? There's things other than comics out there?
I don't believe
it. Shockingly enough, Pete, there are.
Oh, man.
Pete thinks fine art are the comics in the hard cases. Conventions. That you can't have to use a screwdriver to get open.
So the Ray's coming up for you. What else can we look for coming up from you?
Can't really talk about it yet.
Nice try, Selden. Nice try.
Yeah.
Smooth.
You got him to take his clothes off, but he can't still talk about his body. Yeah.
I'll buy you dinner later.
I've been told that there will be an announcement around WonderCon, so.
Oh, yeah, Wonder.
Oh, Wonder. Yeah. Sounds really nice, WonderCon.
It's creeping me out. It's creeping me out, Selden.
Wonder. Well, this is the first time we've used microphones. So that's exciting.
Yeah, things are going really great now. This is good. Things have really turned around. Jeff, let's chat with you. So
Hello. You
are College Humor's resident nerd.
Man, yeah. I'm a nerd at College Humor. There's so many nerds at College Humor that I can in no way take
that's exactly the sort of thing that a nerd would say.
It's true, though. I mean, we do so much, like, we have a site, Dorkly, that's, like, our video game site, and, like, even before that, thank you, even before that, though, like, there's so many nerds at College Humor beyond me. I do a show called Nerd Alert, so...
I've seen it.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the jocks at College Humor real quick, then? Seems like that's an easier way to approach this.
Yeah, not a lot of varsity letters on the College Humor staff.
There's one guy named Biff.
Yeah.
Or at least he calls himself Biff.
Man, he eats like 19 lunches a day.
So we do. I'm happy to say, a lot of nerd stuff and a variety of nerd outlets at College Humor, in both Nerd Alert and Dorkly and all that stuff.
And you do an audio podcast, too, where you talk about really very specific nerdy stuff.
I do. I do a podcast called The Jeff Rubin Show, where I basically do whatever I want. And that usually ends up skewing nerdy. But I basically, because that's who I am, I guess. But I just find someone who I want to talk to and interview them, and it's like that simple. But sometimes they're very weird, and sometimes they're nerdy. Like we had Klaus Teuber who created Settlers of Catan. Woo. Right? One person says, "Oh wow," but they're very impressed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you just say, "Oh wow"? Yeah. Did you actually know who he was talking about?
No, he thought his name was weird.
Wow, that's a weird name.
What is that, Norwegian?
But we also did, we had a guy relevant to this show who wrote his PhD thesis on Batman. And so we talked to him.
I want to meet him.
Yeah. He's in England. But at the end of the podcast, he just gave his email address out, and he was like, if anyone wants to email me and talk about Batman, just shoot me an email. And I was like, I'm going to put that part in. He was like, yeah, no, I want everyone to have my email address so they can all talk to me about Batman. And I've heard from people that email him, and he loves talking about it. His name's Dr. Will Brooker. He's a very interesting guy, and I'm hoping to talk to him after The Dark Knight Rises comes out.
That's crazy.
I have a PhD in speedball. I don't know if that's the Marvel character.
Yeah, how's that going for you? That must have been tough with the whole penance thing.
I took it away.
He did say he knew someone. I don't think they did a thesis. I can't recall, but they had written some sort of paper on Hawkman. And I was like, that's a
grasping for straws.
That's a little bit more of a reach.
Yeah. It was probably just a fan poem to Hawkman.
Yeah. I have a poem about the atom I'm working on.
What was that voice?
Just another PhD, you hopeful.
We have a very low opinion of PhDs on this show.
Well, if your PhD is about a character, I mean, I guess they're not to insult.
Yeah,
anybody.
I mean, if you're a liar. Yeah.
Right. I'm not a liar.
No, I know. He's a liar.
He could be lying. I guess I'd like follow up.
What institution gave him that credit?
I don't know. Something in
the
England.
The Kubert School.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Guys, with that, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
All right. If it is your first time at the show for The Stack, each one of us have made a pick.
Someone's landline is ringing. Thank you for bringing your cord.
Yeah, who brought their landline?
How
long is your cord?
Zach Morris with the first cell phone. That's insane that someone's...
You're really dating yourself with all these old references right out of the box.
That's when I was around. All right, I'm sorry.
If it's your first time at the show, we froze Justin and just woke him up after 15 years.
this is probably a call for me. I give out my landline number to a lot of people.
Yeah,
so.
I hope that's ringing for the rest of the show. I'm pretty excited. No,
dude, definitely. You got to get an answering machine. It's this great invention.
This is before answering machine technology. Just let it ring.
It's actually the last landline in existence.
I don't know what's sadder, the fact that Justin's making all these references or I understood every single
Thank
one.
You.
Thank
that's
you.
That's
how old
Jamal.
I am. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's Columbia House. I ordered a bunch of Counting Crows.
Anybody knows that?
And they won't deliver them.
I think actually that's a phone for the guy who has the Batman PhD.
Like, are you talking about me? The guy with the Batman PhD would call on a landline. Let's be honest about that.
If it's your first time at the show, we're going to do The Stack now. We've each made a pick, some comic book we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to a bat for it. Pete gets the first one, which is Terminally Illin.
Yeah!
Number one.
Woo!
Which has a girl with giant guns riding a giant cat monster.
Was this a part of the New 52? Or I don't know. Where did this come from?
Pete, you want to make everybody feel bad about themselves?
Yes. This lady, it's her. She made a comic book about her struggle with cancer. And I wanted to...
Yeah, guys who laughed.
Buzzkill.
Assholes.
Yeah.
Buzzkill.
So I really want to bring the show down. And guys...
Thanks,
cancer.
Pete.
Yeah. Which universe does this take place in?
I believe it's...
In the universe of your heart.
Aww. So I... So anyway, she made this comic. If other people are going through it, she went through it and tried to put a fun spin on it, so makes it easier for other people. So I wanted to talk about that, and I think it was cool.
If I may step in, it's not the most fun read. It's sort of terrifying. A bunch of the main recurring characters, not main, but a bunch of pill canisters are like, eat us, and stuff. It's like, what?
But so even though it's obviously like inherently sad because it's about cancer.
Right.
I think it's in good spirits,
exactly.
You know. I think
right.
A lot of it's about like trying to be in good spirits while the main character's going through chemo. So it's not obviously the feel good read of the year, but it's not a total down.
It's not a gateway comic for
you.
No,
but I think and visually at least, if you're a fan of Forbidden Zone, then you will really dig this book.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that
Pete, you were lying all over
the
place.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What he was talking about.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing that's nice about this is, like Pete said, is it's somebody who's dealing with a potentially terminal disease
art
and
therapy.
Trying to keep their spirits up and work through it through art. So that's a really cool thing. So.
And actually, the second half I thought was really cool. Like, it was
yeah.
sort of
she gets
Alice
sucked.
In Wonderland-y.
Spoiler, she gets sucked into her own body and has to battle her own cancer cells.
Yeah.
So I'm curious
Great
to
way,
see
yeah.
where it goes.
It felt very knowing. Like, I didn't know anything about it when I picked it up, but I read it. And
no?
I was like, obviously, this is based on a personal experience.
Right.
You know, this was obviously coming from somewhere very real. And, you know, I think it'd stick with you.
What does the giant cat represent on the cover?
Yeah, you know, I looked at the cover before I read it, and then I read it, and I haven't looked at the cover again until now, and I don't remember the giant cat monster.
That's it represents hope.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's hope. Great.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which is actually two picks, Swamp Thing number 5 and Animal Man number 5
yeah.
from
right?
DC Comics.
How come Justin gets two picks?
Well, they're basically the same comic.
Yeah, they're sort of the same comic. I don't know if you guys are reading this. Huh?
How is it the same comic? It's two separate comics.
You got your time to make everyone feel bad, all right? so this is two books, part of the New 52 reboot that are like they're practically married together. Animal Man and his daughter are fighting against the Red, or no, they're in the Red, they're fighting against the Rot. Swamp Thing also fighting against the Rot. The way this works, if you're not reading it, is they say like every living thing is dying, and then this thing is going to kill you also. So it's sort of terrifying.
Wait, I thought I brought the mood down. You really did.
Well, but this isn't about a person that you like that gave you that comic and made you talk about it on the show or whatever.
It didn't happen.
Nice. But these are like truly terrifying comics. I think the way the art style with the story is just amazing.
The Swamp Thing made me hungry for cheeseburgers. It was all those dead pigs everywhere.
What?
That
cheeseburgers are made of beef.
If you didn't read the book, just so you know, so the dead pigs eat the spirit of death and become the spirit of death, and anything that eats them becomes dead.
Cheeseburgers.
No. Cheeseburgers are beef. I hate to break this to you.
What? Let me ask you.
Pork is like bacon, which comes from a pig, and ham.
Okay.
Cheeseburgers are cows, which also make milk. I know that's going to blow your mind. And that's also cheese comes from milk. So,
what?
Yeah.
The same place?
Yeah, it's weird. I agree. I don't know. I guess you could make pig cheese, technically.
That sounds delicious.
I don't know. You could make human cheese.
You could make a pig burger. Let me ask you this, though. Would you eat a cheeseburger if you were really hungry and you knew it would turn you into an avatar of death?
Me, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Real quick answer from someone in the audience. Yes, I want to be an avatar.
You guys have cheeseburgers? Yeah, these are great. Great art in both of these issues. Really great story. It's very quickly tying together where Animal Man is fighting for animals, Swamp Thing is fighting for plants, Death is fighting against both of them. It's really good horror comics. Did you guys check
these out? Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. And Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire are completely on their game with these books.
Yep.
Fantastic. And Stephen Pugh is back drawing Animal Man. Oh, my God.
The art is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's like having a nightmare.
I'm curious, Jeff, did you read these? Did you take a look through these at all?
I read Animal Man. I didn't have a chance to read Swamp Thing. I guess I have a question for you guys. So I read a lot of the number ones for the New 52. I have not kept up with them until I read these. And Animal Man seemed like it was far, of the ones I read, certainly, it was far and away the best of the relaunch.
True.
Still, has it kept that level up?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Animal Man has for sure. Some of the other books I have definitely dropped. I'm surprised how many I haven't been
reading.
Yeah,
I will say overall, I'm still getting more books from DC post-relaunch than I was pre-relaunch.
I guess that's probably true for me
as
well.
But yeah, it's definitely tapered off. It's like anything because we were buying 52 of them, and now we're not buying 52 a month.
Well, I think it's only natural that you're going to find those little things within the line that you're going to stick with. I don't think they imagine everybody buying, you know, 52 books every month.
Right.
Well, I think they would have liked everybody to be buying 52 books every month.
Seems like that's their game. If you date 52 girls, you're eventually going to marry one of them. Maybe.
Yeah, this is true.
We got to talk to you.
All right, we're going to move on. This is my pick.
It's going really well.
It's going well.
I just haven't. You can't talk about the other girls with the other 50. Same way you can't talk about, like, OMAC with Justice League International.
Right. Too difficult. All right, we're going to move on with my pick. Wolverine and the X-Men, Alpha and Omega, number 1.
Yeah.
All right. one of the big deals about this book is that it's by Brian Wood, who actually has been at DC for a good long while, done some awesome indie work as well. This is his first work back at Marvel, so it's kind of surprising to see him on, hey, Wolverine, set in mainstream continuity, but I thought it's a lot of fun. It's pitting Wolverine, who's now running a school for youngsters, like Professor Xavier used to do, and there's a student named Quentin Quire who thinks of himself as kind of an anarchist, basically think anybody who lives on the Lower East Side, pretty much that, except he has...
Alex's political
I live in Park Slope.
And, yeah, Wolverine is sort of the Park Slope of the comic.
Right, he's kind of the Park Slope, and Quentin Quire's the Lower East Side. Yep. There's a couple of people that are Chinatown. Yep. I'm not going to continue this.
Armor.
Anyway, he has crazy telepathic powers. He's pissed off at Wolverine, so he says, you know what, I'm going to turn things into a video game. So I'm going to throw him into a video game trapped in his own mind. And I think what this does is this perfectly captures the Wolverine and the X-Men series, which is also a lot of weird, quirky fun at the same time as there's good character stuff going on. And it throws you for a loop, but it has a great cliffhanger at the end. Really enjoyable.
I love a loop. I love being thrown for one. And I really like this.
You don't even have to throw me. I'll just go get that loop myself.
Give me the loop! I like this a lot as well. I think it's very funny. At one point, Wolverine is like, he's in the game and he forgets that he has mutant powers. And then he pops his claws. He's like, oh, that feels right. And I wish I was at some point in my day and was just like, oh, I'll give it a try. Nope.
Oh, well. Pete, what did you think about this book?
I also like Fruit Loops. And I feel like this is a fun read, just like you said. It's really cool. And it's fun to pit these guys against each other because when he did start the school, it was kind of a fun tension between them. So I'm glad that this is kind of exploring that.
Yeah, and you get to see that a lot in the main book as well.
I feel like Quentin is a very realistically written teenager.
Oh, absolutely.
He is like you feel like you knew someone like that, except they didn't have psychic powers, and they weren't an Omega level psychic.
I think
certainly.
But I think we're talking about AC Slater, if I can play the cards right. Anybody with me?
He does feel like a pain in the ass kid I knew who like thinks he knows everything already that you knew in high school.
Oh, yeah. Me?
Yeah, I think you're talking about everyone here.
Great book. Definitely pick it up. And that's it for the stat.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman.
All right, Boothman. Let's get those questions. Whoa, so many questions.
I feel like we should explain this for people that are on the podcast and can't appreciate the visuals of what's going on
right
now.
Oh, yeah. Boothman is wearing a bathrobe that is horribly dirty because he lives in the booth.
Yeah. He does live in
the booth. Actually
You're
looks
welcome,
clean,
podcast listeners.
It looks clean, but it's very dirty. Nope.
Do you want to read a question?
I guess. Can I keep living in the booth if I do? Oh, no. Okay. First question. I'm glad that Lucien Gates is of Asian descent. Do you envision a time when the latest, and I believe this is, do you know that one? Iteration, thank you. I don't have time for reading. Of a comic hero will be a person of color. Do you envision a time when, you know, that's normal?
Like,
well, I think it's fairly normal now. I don't know.
You're talking about rebooting like a... Right.
Oh, what, like a major character? I think there'll be a time. We're getting into like, you know, political, racial.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what this show's all about. We're very diverse.
You know, you have to. We are not. You know, people like to say, you know, ever since Barack Obama was elected president, where, you know, America became a post-racial country. That's bullshit.
January 1st, I think everyone was like, what?
Yeah.
Race?
Yeah. No.
That was last year.
No, we still deal with it. You know, we put up these arbitrary barriers between ourselves, and we still deal with the repercussions of that on a daily basis. So I think there will be a time when, you know, having a hero of color being very, very popular will happen without there having to be some kind of hook. I mean, you know, Spawn was really popular, but, you know, you didn't know he was black unless, you know, somebody told you.
Well, and I know back, not to continue talking about, like, the mid-90s, but when Shadowhawk, when he took off his mask, everyone was like, he's black? It was like this, it was like, no! And it was like, wait, like, that's fucked up.
Well, you got to keep in mind, you know, I also spent 2 years on Firestorm, the Nuclear Man,
yeah,
you know, with Jason Rush, who was a black teenager, and I had never had to deal with the level of like racism that was thrown at me and at Dan Jolly and at Stuart Moore while we were working on the book. You know, it became an excuse for every like closet little racist on the internet to come out and start trashing us for whatever.
Yeah. Same with Spider-Man.
They were waiting for an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but they're always waiting. Right now, they're always waiting for an excuse.
Yeah. I think you'll see it in comic books before you see it anywhere else. Comic books seem to embrace it the most organically. And by that, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of sitcoms still where they're like, there's obviously the black friend or the Asian girl, like, kind of filling out the cast. But I feel like in comic books, there's a lot of characters of a variety of backgrounds, and it's not that big a deal. It doesn't feel like they're just filling a quota.
Well, what about you're into video games? Do you think we'll ever see an African American Mario or Luigi or something like that?
I don't know. I guess video games are pretty good too, really. Like, you know, one of the Grand Theft Auto. Maybe those aren't role models or anything, but yeah. I guess
careful.
Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, tread lightly. Racially diverse cast.
I think I've played that game.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, isn't there inherently sort of like racist to be like, okay, now we're gonna try out black Superman?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, now we're doing a show on NBC called Black Seinfeld. You guys are going to love it. It's like, no, you do it. Just do new things.
No, I think the way that you approach it, honestly, and this goes for any character, is you just write the character first.
Yeah.
You figure out what the character's personality and what their tics are, and then you assign a race to them. Because, you know, I don't know. If you didn't know my name and you didn't know what I look like, I don't exactly sound like the typical black guy. So
yeah, we're in a post-racial society even in this show. So
raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Nice question.
All right. Yeah, good conversation starter.
How can I grow a beard like yours? Who is that to specifically? Because there's a couple
not
beards.
To me. I can guarantee that.
Okay, who's it for?
Boothman.
Oh, it's. It's really nice. It's really easy to grow a beard as thick and full as mine. You have to be homeless.
I don't see.
There you go.
What is it about the street that?
It just stimulates follicle growth. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Oh, that person just left to become homeless.
Good move. What do you predict to be the worst thing in comics in 2012?
Oh boy. Nothing.
No,
it's up from here.
Yep, no missteps.
I don't know. I thought I was going to pinpoint something. This is more of like a topic that is a specific event or something. But further dragging feet on digital pricing and things like that, I think, you know, we're still going to see problems happening there.
Right.
That's not the sexiest answer.
No, it's not. but I think it's true. I mean, I think we're still going to see things a little behind the times while... I've been doing a lot of reading about this, but it seems like maybe you could speak to this now, moving into creator-owned stuff, which you're going to be doing as well. It seems like there's going to be a lot more of creators being like, oh, my God, the big companies are not doing this right. Let me just do it on my own.
Well, I mean, there is that lure. I think part of it also is you take away the whole printing expense of, you know, doing things online.
Paper.
Unfortunately, you're fighting... for so much space in, you know, the reader's budget and, you know, in the reader's hearts, you have to, you know, create that want, that need for readers to pick up your material. So there's still that, you know, uphill battle that you have to find. Pricing is still a problem, you know. Unfortunately, the thing that I've found from between print and from digital is that we don't have enough regular readers right now to bring the price point down. And I know a lot of people complain about the price point. Unfortunately, you're going to incur some costs, and you try to make it as inexpensive as possible. I think that DC, like I know a lot of people complained about DC not putting the books on Comixology for 99 cents rather than $1.99 after a month.
They drew a line at $1.99.
Yeah, I know. But if they could afford to do it, and I know the numbers. If they could afford to do it, they probably would. But unfortunately, you just don't have enough readers to cover the cost.
It seems like a huge shift, because there's also the way they make money on comic books, I think, is they sell advertising in it. Now they're not selling advertising. So it's not as simple as just,
right, exactly.
This is a new thing. And there's a whole can of worms you're opening by selling them online.
Here's my question. What are we going to do with all the paper?
No, the paper will never go away.
We're still burning the paper.
Burning
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. We're still getting rid of the trees.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, the paper.
We're just
paper...
taking blank pages and being like, "No, paper... good night. We're going digital."
Paper will never go away because there will always be a market and an audience for print comics.
If I may, I'm just going to bring it back to the question, if we could. And I'm going to say Archie.
Archie's doing
Archie?
Pretty well.
No, because
Archie's
he's run. Like, I'm sick of this. Who's Archie going to marry now? I feel like.
He just keeps fucking around. He just keeps
like
marrying.
It's going to be like, Archie marries a tree
Pete.
In 2012.
I don't
like,
know. They just
he hasn't hit his 52 yet.
Yeah, he's okay. getting there. They just made an announcement. Archie's marrying your wife in an upcoming issue.
Oh, man. Damn you, Archie.
I went to the Archie Comics panel at Comic-Con, and I'm not an Archie Comics fan, but I just thought that'd be fun to do.
Right. I like you say fan like it's a weird word to attach to Archie.
And it was kind of cool, though, because it did make me appreciate that Archie like tries, and as far as I can tell successfully, they're still printing it, to stay very up on the times. Like, there's that gay character now, or they'll have, like, Sarah Palin, and it's not... And like they,
very
they,
fresh reference.
Archie, well, stay with the times?
This
come
was,
on.
This
he's dating... The Josie and the Pussycats, one of the girls.
Well,
who's
this
Josie
was
Comic Con
a year or two ago. But they try very hard. I'm defending Archie for some reason. They try very hard.
The Nerd alert.
The funniest thing that happened when I went to that panel was I got downstairs and we were a little late, and it was unclear if like it had, there was someone in line. It was unclear if they were waiting for that and they were running late. I'm sorry, I'll wrap this up. And I was like, "Is this the Archie panels comic?" And they were like, "Archie Comics panel," and they were like, "No," and like gave me this like weird look. And I was like, "Sorry, what cool dude thing are you waiting for?" He's got like he's like dressed in like some huge anime character, and he's like, "Oh God, Archie." Yeah.
Wow. That's Comic-Con in a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Much. All right. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
And I'm sort of over Norman Osborn to answer that question.
Norman Osborn.
So seriously, guys, Archie's pretty good.
Yeah. Any gap in the conversation.
Are you ready?
Yep.
This is a big question.
Okay, good.
Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter?
Oh, great. Now we're talking. Now we're in my wheelhouse. Oh. Now you're in my wheelhouse.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, how
are you talking movies? Because that now we got a good. Oh. Well, the games in general.
If it was movies, it would be Mortal
I think it's
Kombat.
Gotta be Street Fighter.
Yeah,
I love
I'm a
Mortal
Street
Kombat.
Fighter.
It's gotta be Street.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat. No. Mortal Kombat's the imitator. Like I love Mortal Kombat. No, but let's be clear. Mortal Kombat's the imitator here.
Sorry. Mortal Kombat.
You can do that with Street Fighter too.
Yeah.
Street Fighter.
It doesn't.
Did they say
no,
that?
Sorry, it doesn't work.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Screaming Mortal Kombat is from the movie, so I can't quite give the games credit for that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that movie doesn't hold up.
I love Mortal Kombat. I have a very soft spot in my heart for it, but Street Fighter is the truth. I mean, that's still like the defining fighting game.
It's the truth.
I gotta say. When I was a kid and I like played Street Fighter 2 for a long time, and then when I first heard about Mortal Kombat and I was in an arcade, which was a thing where video game it's a room. It's like a room.
How old are you?
It's a room where video games. You could get like a licorice whip and a
really dating.
Tell me more, Grandpa. Tell me more.
Okay. For those of you on the podcast, I'm like pretty young looking still. So just to be cool, like I'm a certain age, but I look younger than that. So and I'm wearing like a V-neck shirt.
Yeah, it's real cool.
So where was? Oh, and Mortal Kombat. I saw someone do a fatality. I was like, holy shit, you kill the guy. I couldn't believe it when I was a kid.
I felt the same way with Street Fighter. I was like, what are you doing to that car?
So many nickels.
But Mortal Kombat pushed a lot of things forward. That fatality thing was huge at the time. But now that virtually every game is a fatality in some form or another, and you look back, I feel like Mortal Kombat's a little more hollow. A lot of it is just like... trying shock value,
yeah,
a lot
like
of shock
get over
value.
Here, like we get. Oh, yeah.
And I love Mortal Kombat. I don't want to hammer it too much, but
well, I think they really pushed it down the line and really broke new ground when they came up with the Babality.
Oh yeah,
when you turned the character into a baby,
right? Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're gonna get some free comics. And now for the rest of the questions. No more questions.
No. Yeah,
what?
More questions.
Yeah.
No, of course there are.
Okay, good.
Alex. But before you go, I just want to do one really quick thing.
Yeah,
I would like the audience to answer that question, because it's very important to me. So, everyone who liked Mortal Kombat, go, yeah.
Yeah!
And Street Fighter?
Yeah!
Philistines.
In your face.
Yeah. By the way, for those of you listening at home, the Street Fighter people were one person with multiple throats. It was really weird.
Tubin
really
throat
weird
singer.
Looking, though. Yeah. All right, for the rest of the questions, we're going to do a lightning round where the first answer is already correct. So let's get into it. It's already correct. We don't even need to hear that. I don't know.
False. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Spaghetti.
Street cage match. Darkseid or Darkseid, however you want to pronounce it, versus Hulk. Any version. Who wins?
Darkseid.
Darkseid.
Let's say Darkseid.
Next Hulk. Question.
He shoots crooked lasers out of his eyes.
Darkseid.
And time bullets. That still
yeah.
won't
All right,
the
next
Hulk.
Question.
Time bullets. Too soon. For what?
Which DC hero do you think was the most pissed off to be left out of the new 52, and what do you think he or she did when they got the new?
Oh, I actually don't think they left any out, if I remember correctly. I think they used pretty much all of the Grasshopper Man.
Yep.
They used them all.
Canterbury Cricket.
Good. So, sorry, I didn't know that. Oh, Canterbury, yeah. What a hot region for a comic
you're,
book.
You're real cool.
Yeah. Canterbury.
All right, let's get the next one.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
This yeah.
This question is from Who's, Jen.
If you know, then fucking fess up. Because she took some pearls that my grandmother left in fucking Cairo, and I need that shit back.
Okay, next question.
You are old. You are so old.
Yeah. I'm the youngest person between the three of us.
All right, next question. What would you do if it were the apocalypse?
What?
What would you do if it was the apocalypse?
Head to Midtown Comics.
The age of the apocalypse?
That was the right answer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Seriously.
We got the same question twice. What are you wearing under that robe?
Jeez, a lot of Boothman body questions. Yeah. <today. laughs>
It's an intriguing thing.
Well, I disagree, basically.
Nightmares.
Cool. Next question.
What is a funky song?
What is a punky song?
Funky.
Oh, funky song?
Yeah.
That is the correct answer. That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pete.
From 15 years ago, yeah.
Why does my pee smell when I eat asparagus?
Maybe you shouldn't eat asparagus then.
Because you ate asparagus.
Why are you smelling your pee?
Yeah.
What is Put the opposite? What is the opposite of carpet?
Oh fuck! I don't know.
Drapes.
Grass.
I was gonna say giraffe.
Giraffe. Well, you wouldn't want to put a giraffe on your floor.
Yeah.
These questions are getting fairly abstract.
I know.
Yeah.
Wait.
They just gave up.
Next question. Why is Waldo?
Oh. Wow. I think we can call that a stumper. Yeah. That's a stumper question.
Why is anyone, really?
Good. Waldo just is, man.
Yeah. Oh!
Waldo is.
Next question. Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, my God. It's Colin Mockery's.
Yeah. Come on.
Wayne Brady's.
Next question. Where is your sister when we need her?
My sister would kick your ass.
Yeah. We're going down some sort of weird rabbit hole here.
No. My sister's
I feel
having
like
a baby.
The crowd is really drunk tonight.
Was everyone required to submit a question?
Yeah. Because I would just stand near them and look at them and rub my robe on them.
That's why I gotta write something. About your body.
Yeah. Where did you get your robe? The garbage.
Good. So many robes.
Next question. How old is Billy?
Billy, 5. What are we talking about? We need to revise this policy of answering every question.
Yeah. Why doesn't glue stick to the bottle?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
Why did I do so much acid right before the show?
Maybe the bottle's glue. Did you ever think about that?
All right, last
you know
one,
what?
Last one.
Pete,
Justin.
Real quick reveal. Yeah, I know. Quick reveal, glue comes from horses. That's going to blow your mind.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Last one.
Okay.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Well, geez. What time of the month?
Uh-oh. We are not going to know the
answer
to
this.
Wait, there's more.
Do you experience a period from Bernard?
What?
Usually at the end of a sentence.
What character were you playing at the end?
The character who wants audience questions to be over. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman. But guys, fun twist for you. It's not over yet because we actually have been given a pair of tickets to give away to a new movie that's premiering at Lincoln Center. Ooh. Called Yohan Safar Draws from Memory. It's a documentary about Yohan Safar, who does an awesome series called The Rabbi's Cat and a bunch of other things. He's a French cartoonist. And the way that we're going to give away these tickets, you're going to have to let us come find us after the show so we can write down your name. But Pete is going to choose his favorite question from the audience questions.
Holy shit.
I'm going to have to say my favorite question was the Boothman's beard question.
Really?
Boothman's beard. Yeah. So raise your hand if you ask Boothman's beard. Yeah. There you go. All right, come find us after the show. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, now we're going to move on with our next section, that's which we exciting. Like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, that's cool. You guys can be reserved about it. That's fine.
Yeah, we tired them out.
What we're going to do here at The Week in Geek is hit a couple of geek culture topics, news items really quickly. First thing we're going to talk about, Marvel is going to be launching a game on Facebook called Avengers Alliance, where you get to take control of an Avengers team and battle your friend's Avengers team. Are you going to be spending more of your time on Facebook because of this?
I am deep into some chicken coops right now in Farmville, so I got.
Do you really play
I'm
Farmville?
I'm up to my neck in chicken coops.
Do you,
I can't
do you play Farmville?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't know.
Like they walk actually, amongst us. Someone is playing.
My
someone
biggest question when I heard this was I was wondering if it was going to be like a microtransaction. You have to farm Avengers stuff. Like
no, they're
Jarvis.
Doing it out of the good of their heart. They don't want to make any money on it.
But Jarvis is going to go outside of Avengers Mansion and be like, well, I got to harvest these beets now. Yeah. Got to milk my cows.
Yeah, they thought the most dynamic character is Jarvis to choose from.
I haven't played any Facebook games very seriously at all. Yeah, I mean, like, I just, I've so many other quote-unquote real video games I haven't gotten to. Maybe there's good ones out there. This doesn't sound like it's going to be one of them, though. Yeah.
Well, and I just hate the fact your Facebook game, like, Facebook wants to tell everyone that you're doing a good job or whatever in the game, and that annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah, Facebook, don't tell my friends I'm playing the Avengers game on Facebook right now.
I do a lot to keep that a secret on my own, so I don't need you fucking it up.
I'm trying to look cooler than I actually am on Facebook.
Exactly.
No, I'm too busy getting into angry political rants on Facebook to play games.
Have you played Angry Political Birds?
Yes, I have, actually.
It's really good.
That's great.
All right, another thing. There's another little Marvel item, but... I'm totally forgetting his name. Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki in Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. He announced that Thor 2 filming is going to start this summer.
He announced that?
He announced that all on his own. He's going to be filming it in his backyard. He's going to be harvesting
like
some radishes.
No? What is that voice?
That was...
That's his Loki impression.
You know what's kind of cool about that is first, like, usually the villain doesn't recur in a comic book movie sequel.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess they're bringing Loki back.
Well not only also in Avengers.
Yeah, also in Avengers,
usually
too.
They'd have Thor move on to whoever's next on his rogues list. I don't know.
Well, that's my
is there anybody else on Thor's rogues list?
What are some of those fun Thor rogues we could talk about?
Ulick, the troll.
Yeah. Ulick the
Come
troll.
Come on. Household name, Ulick the troll. Yeah.
Someone said Absorbing Man, but they did that in Hulk already.
Absorbing Man. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Well, they could bring him back, right?
And they
Nick
did.
Nolte back as Absorbing
I
Man.
I love that.
The Hulk
Nothing
movie.
Would make me happy.
I'm here to get you, Thor.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a cloud again.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not the Absorbing Man.
What would
I'm
you
Nick
be
Nolte.
Looking forward to in the Thor movie? What would you want to see?
Enchantress.
Enchantress.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Sure.
Very
that would be good.
Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
And the villain?
I mean,
Rival Hammer?
That will never happen in a million years, but that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That and Jormungand.
How about
the World Serpent?
Yeah.
Frog Thor. Why can't I think of his name?
Yeah.
All I know about Thor, I learned from Alex's
Let's
comic.
Let's just say it's Frog. Yeah.
Frog.
Like this is going. Frog. All right. So look forward to that. Starting filming the summer, we'll probably have more news about that. Another little thing. I thought this was kind of fun. This is becoming a very Marvel-centric Week in Geek, but there was a series that was announced. You guys know Avengers versus X-Men is going to be happening starting in April, which the plot of it is that the Avengers fight the X-Men. I don't know if you could figure that out from the title.
Yes. Versus
but
is another way of saying
to help
fights.
You along, Marvel is releasing a side series to Avengers versus X-Men called Avengers versus X-Men versus... which is just going to be fight scenes.
Yeah!
That's it. So when you're reading Avengers versus X-Men, there's going to be all this stupid plot stuff. And in the background, Iron Man's going to be fighting Magneto, and you'll be like, what's going on with Iron Man and Magneto? You go over to Versus, 12 pages of them kicking the shit out
yes!
of each other.
Yes!
What is this, 1986?
Yeah.
Yes!
Hell yeah,
and
it is.
I'm looking forward to the sister series, which is X-Men versus Avengers Conversations. which is just where they're just like, so what do you think about this fight?
Written entirely by Brian Michael
Bendis.
Bendis.
Exactly.
Sponsored by NPR.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like now
Terry Gross is a main character.
Now that they're doing, now that the Avengers movie is coming out, like there's no obvious next step for Marvel. So now maybe that the Avengers movie's out, maybe now they can start building to Avengers versus X-Men the movie. That's like the only hill left for them to climb.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Yeah, it'll be just God.
Awesome. We're gonna just pause for a second.
Yeah, everyone was just quiet, just letting that sink in for a second.
Like, what?
There was a 5-second pause where literally everybody in the audience just orgasmed.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Gonna have to.
Last little bit of news we're gonna hit you guys with. We've been wondering about the Star Wars TV show for a while that George Lucas said, hey, we're gonna film all 100 episodes first, then we'll put it on the air for you guys. They announced yesterday what the title of the Star Wars TV show is gonna be. It's gonna be Star Wars Underworld.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, underneath.
Like hell.
Yeah,
exactly. Is it going to be like? Is there anything else anyone knows? That seems to hint that it'll be about crime syndicates or something.
Well, yeah, basically, it's the like sort of the seedier side of the Star Wars universe. Smugglers.
Sith happens. That sounds
Sith
pretty.
Happens.
That I'm not.
But it takes place between episodes 3 and 4. So like
I'm not especially optimistic about it, but that sounds kind of cool. That sounds like an interesting thing.
Well, I heard they were running into problems with it, too. Weren't they?
Yeah, they can't get the scripts to be good. Real
more Jar Jar. We need more Jar Jar.
Yeah, it's just like dealing with the mining conflicts on that flame planet that they all fought on at the end of the last.
Oh, yeah, if they could get into more trade negotiations in the series, that would be great.
Let's get down to, like, I want to see the contracts. I want to know the tariffs by name.
No, we get Eric LaSalle to play Lando Calrissian.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You're clearly pushing your own agenda here, sir.
Totally. No, that would be great. He could do a little...
Yeah, exactly.
Credits.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's a fucking old reference. For those of you who don't know, Alex Alba just referenced the opening credits to ER.
The thing is,
a very specific one-second moment where Eric LaSalle goes like this.
He punches.
Can I just mention something? Huh? I don't know what that is. Somebody put it up to me. That was a trap for you.
What? Yeah. Someone put you up to that.
And that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yay!
All right. Next, we're going to turn to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
All Mr. Right.
Guys, this is the part we get back to you. The lovely audience, thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics. We'd like $25 free to Midtown Comics. Simply raise your hand. Yeah. Having their friend volunteer for them. Come on down.
Woo! Woo, woo,
woo. Hello.
Hi.
What is your name?
Sarah.
Audience Sarah.
Hi, nice. Sarah.
Hi,
very
guys.
Nice.
All right. Sarah, thank you so much for coming out.
You're welcome.
So today's trivia is on the Ray. And
that's
this
awesome.
Is the gift card that you're going to be winning.
Maybe. Let's say maybe.
It's in my pocket and it's mine.
Yeah, okay. Fair. Well, thank you for coming out.
So how this works is I'm going to read you... Well, don't cheat, Sarah. Cheaters never win.
He'll do the cheating
for you.
I'm going
to read you a question. You're not going to need to cheat. All right. I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Okay?
It's mine. It's in my pocket.
Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. Who is the Ray? Is it Lucien Gates, A, or B, Steve Lucien, or is it C, Dr. Winston Zedmore? It's either
Timely.
A or it's B. A is correct!
Nice. Very fresh reference.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, people in podcasts are like, she's so smart. They call him Ray because he shoots ray beams, A. Or is it B, he is a human ray of light? Or is it C, because Raymond is too long? So it's either A or it's B. B, correct!
Nice. Really good. Yeah, I know.
Woo!
It's not easy.
All right, 2 for 2. Don't get cocky. All right, let's focus up. Here we go. The Ray first appeared in what comic? Is it A, Smash Comics number 14, B, The Ray number 1, or C, The Tobin Spirit Guide? It's either A or it's B. A is correct!
That's so smart!
$25 Congratulations!
Nice. Awesome. Good job. All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I am looking forward to Scalped, number 55. It's an amazing series.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about the series?
Oh, it's just great.
Cool.
And the good news is there's no white people in it, which is enjoyable.
What?
I throw that out there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you finally pushed him to answer why I like something. And that's what he says. That's what you get.
Cool. I retract my question.
Great. Well, of course, The Ray number 2. Tomorrow. I've been a huge fan of The Ray forever. It's nice to see the, if not the same guy, at least the character back. I'm looking forward to Scarlet Spider number 1.
Yeah, that looks good.
The Marvel comic, Spider-Man. It's like Spider-Man, except he doesn't have as many rules.
What?
Ooh.
Spider-Man has a lot of rules?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, with great responsibility and all that.
Have you ever read a comic?
I only read the tail end of sentences.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. I'm also really looking forward to Severed, number 6, from Image Comics.
Very good.
It's
That's
an
creepy.
Awesome, crazy horror comic set during the Depression era. That's and I've actually read tomorrow's issue. It's terrifying.
Wait, it how did you read it already?
I read a preview of it. Stop
so
asking me this every
You're looking
week.
Forward to a nightmare you're going to have tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you guys should definitely check it out because it's one of my favorite series of the past year. It's wrapping up. There's one more issue after this. Terrifying villain set in the real world. Great Depression era stuff. It's like if John Steinbeck wrote a horror novel.
Oh, share your shit, comics. Yeah. Why won't you share your comics so you get ahead of time?
Pete, we'll fight about that later.
Yeah. Jamal, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I've got two. I'm actually looking forward to Batman and Robin number 5.
Yeah. Nice.
Because it's, you know, Pete Tomasi and Pat Gleason, and they kick ass. Mm-hmm. And the other one is The Strange Talent of Luther Strode number 4, which also comes out tomorrow. Yeah. And I've been really just loving that series.
That's what I've been telling them, and they haven't been listening.
Tell us about the series.
Well, it's about this kid who sort of finds this version of the Charles Atlas guide, and he starts using it, and he suddenly gets, like, you know, superhuman strength, just from using this guide. But there's this bald gentleman with a bow tie and suspenders who also has super strength who seems to be hunting him. But there are others who have used this technique to build up their strength.
Suspenders.
Yes.
Never trust a man.
I've read tomorrow's issue, and it's really great, Pete.
You son of a bitch!
Tell us what's in the New York Times tomorrow, Alex.
I haven't gotten my early edition yet.
You're a dork. You're a big dork. That was a trap I laid for you. Early edition was a show on CBS that aired in like 1996.
Fisher yeah,
Steele is super Christian and you're a jerk.
No, it started.
Got him. Got him. I don't think it was super Christian. It was pretty. It was back when.
Yeah, every morning.
It was about feeling good for sure.
Every morning, that cat brought him a paper that just said "Jesus saves" again and again. Every morning, it was weird.
Saves once again.
Yeah. Also, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
The Ray number 2, which comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. And like I said before, it's batshit insane. It's
BS.
It's BS. basically. This entire series has been slowly building up, at least
in the first issue.
Well,
it's been slowly building through the 22
pages.
Well,
no. What I mean artistically is because what has happened, at least on the artistic side, is what usually happens when I work with a writer, is that they throw something in the first script that we work on, and they go, I don't know if Jamal can do this, but, you know, let's see if he can do this. And then when I do exactly what they ask me to do, they go, okay, let me throw all this shit in here, too.
Oh, it's that guy from Farmville.
Yeah. I know. Cool. I'm buying a bunch of chicken coops from him later tonight.
Jeff, what are you looking forward to?
You know, I dropped everything.
You got to watch out. Biff is going to kill you.
Yeah.
What I really got to do is catch up on Animal Man, I think, because the ones I've read have been incredible. And, I got to do that.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Podcast, Jeff Rubin Show. I think this week was J. Elvis Weinstein, who was the voice of Tom Servo and wrote and produced for Freaks and Geeks.
Wow. Yeah.
And collegehumor.com.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, we've heard of that.
Plug.
Great. Check out internet.
I'm frozen.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com. Also, yeah. Next week on the show, we're going to have Greg Pak is going to come back on the show.
Greg Pak!
Who we always love having on here. He's going to be talking about his new series, Dead Man's Run, which is going to be releasing its first issue the next day, as well as the Doctor Strange Season 1 series that he's going to be doing for Marvel. So that should be pretty exciting. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Like us on Facebook so you can hear about all the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And now you can check us out on Nerdist.com, too, which is pretty cool.
Nerdist,
yeah.
Thank you, Nerdist folks.
There you
folks
go.
A
couple of people
in.
You want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jamal for being on the show.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, folks. Thank you so much.